Today is found in the first book of Kings, the 10th chapter, where we left off last week speaking unto you about the Queen of Sheba, that she lived in the lower part of Arabia, and how that she had heard of the fame and of the wisdom and of the wonderful way that God had blessed Solomon. And this woman, we explained to you, had been wrought upon by the Spirit of God, and that she had no one to go to in her own country, but she had so many questions and so many problems going on in her mind and in her soul. And when she heard of the fame and of the wisdom of this King Solomon, she decided that she would arise and go to him. She then made a long journey to come to the city of Jerusalem, the place where Solomon dwelt, and to the place where he had built this wonderful temple unto the name of the Lord. And she had been moved by what these mariners had brought to that island where she lived, and she with haste came this long journey to Jerusalem. This woman is a type, as I said, of every one of us. The Bible says by the mouth of Jesus that she lived in the uttermost ends of the earth. I explained to you that that is our case, that we likewise are at the uttermost ends of the earth in and through sin, that we are far from God, that we are dead in trespasses and sins, and that we will remain in this state unless God makes us truly concerned, and then we will do as this woman did. This woman had no rest in this country where she was, and she arose and she went to Jerusalem. So if you, by the grace of God, have been made concerned, been stirred up, have so many questions and so many problems in your heart that you cannot find any answer for, and where you have been under the ministry of the Word all your life long, and you have heard of this great King Jesus, this merciful King, this King that is able to save you, and according to what you have heard, willing to save you, then you likewise will arise and come to him to have the problems and the answers that you have on your mind and in your soul answered by him. This woman came with a great train of camels, with spices, and with very much gold, and she came to Jerusalem with her servants. Jerusalem is a type of the church in heaven above, and likewise of the church here below. The church is divided in two parts, the triumphant church and the church that here is militant. This likewise coming to Jerusalem is what every person that is wrought upon does. They come to the house of God, to the church. They come with prayers, with supplications, begging God that he may answer the questions that are on their minds and on their hearts. How is it with you, my hearers? Is this the way you come to the church? Is this the way you come up to the house of God? Have you got a lot of problems, a lot of questions on your minds? What were these questions, do you think, that she had? Have you any questions? What questions have you? Have you ever had a question in your mind whether this King of whom you have heard all your life, this merciful King, this gracious King, that he would receive you, such a creature like you, such a sinner like you? Has this kept you away from him? Has this question arisen in your mind? He'll never take me. He'll never accept me. Still, you have heard the report of this King. What was the report that you have been hearing? That he's good, that he's kind, that he receives all that come unto him. Has this not led you, by the grace of God, to seek him? Has it not caused you yet to arise and to come to him? Has it never come up into your heart? Oh, if he forgives sinners, there's a possibility that he will forgive me. Do you not come then with this question? Lord, will you receive me? Maybe you've gone a little further. Maybe you have this question on your mind. I wonder what this is going on in me. I can't put it on its legs. I can't understand how I am this way. Why I'm so troubled, why I'm so concerned. I don't know what to make of it. Have you ever come up to the house of God with this? Has it never been answered? Has the ministry of the word never touched your case? Has it never been given to you, as we sing sometimes in Psalter number 204? You came to the house of God, and there all was made plain. Never? It's God that gives answers to problems, to questions that nobody else can give an answer to. And he makes it so plain sometimes, so clear, that while you are listening, why you can't do but believe that truly there is the work of God going on in your soul. This is a mercy, my hearers, when you come up to the house of God this way. This queen came to Jerusalem to this king. She came and she communed with him with all that was in her heart. Do you come that way? You come to the house of God, you commune secretly when you sit down, and do you look up unto him and tell him everything that you got in your heart? It says here that Solomon did not conceal anything. He gave her an answer to everything that was going on in her heart, for he knew those things. So it is with this great king in heaven above. He knows your heart. He knows what's going on in there. And oh, it pleases him sometimes. Yes, many times I would say that what's going on in your heart is preached from the housetops. Nobody else knows what's going on in your heart. Only him. And you come here, and you plead, you pray, and then the ministry meets your case. Oh, it's so clear and so plain to your own heart and soul, because you never told anybody else these questions, and God began to answer them for you, this king. Oh, my hearers, this woman had a lot of problems. She had a lot of questions, too. Oh, she didn't know too much about the God of Israel. She didn't know anything about how to worship him in the right way. And she didn't know whether this God of Israel loved her as he loved Solomon. She had heard this. And oh, she was so desirous to know so much more about this God in heaven above. And therefore she came to Jerusalem. She came, as I said, with a great train of camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. Oh, my hearers, so if God has wrought in your heart by his blessed Spirit, then we would take these things that she came with gifts, so you come sometimes to the house of God. You come with the things that God has given you. You come likewise like her with spices. Spices, you know, they are things that have a wonderful scent and odor. Something like cassia, cinnamon, and sometimes even the roots and the barbs of things that grow in the ground. They have a fragrance. And so she came with these spices. There were none such spices to be found anywhere else. And no spices like that ever came to Solomon after that. So likewise, these spices, they are the desires, the longings, the breathings of your heart. These we would consider fragrant. They are by the Spirit of God put in your soul, and they are very sweet. Oh, they are so acceptable to God. Why? Because he put them there. They are his gifts. And these he receives, as Solomon received the spices from this queen, so King Jesus receives these desires and these longings that you have. Or maybe you think, Maybe these desires are from myself. Oh no, my hearers. All true desires are inspired by the Spirit of God. It's Jesus that inspires these, and he bids you yet to seek. And how sweet it is if you may come with such heavenly dew in your soul to the house of God, beseeching this King, that he would look down upon what he has instilled in your soul and say, Lord, did you not put this here? I never had any desires after you before, never had any longings after you. Could you have put them there or they wouldn't be there? These are the things that he receives. What does he say to such? Oh, we find in the book of Solomon, the Song of Solomon, he says to those that have these desires, show me thy countenance, and let me hear thy voice. For thy countenance is comely, and thy voice is sweet. Has he never said that to you? Have you ever had something like that brought home to you when you were so exercised, breathing out such strong longings and desires, and the fragrance of them were going up unto heaven? Oh, my hearers, these things are given by God himself, and I'm sure that this queen had these things going on in her. She likewise came with very much gold. She came then as gold is represented as the word of God, for gold is a pure and a heavy metal, and the word of God is likewise compared to fine gold. And oh, when we come with his word, with this fine gold, which he has given us that we may plea upon, oh, he receives that. He never spurns his own word from us. Oh, he teaches us to come with these words, and how sweet it is if he has given us some words, and we may bring them before him. That he invites us, speaks to us, and tells us that we are acceptable in his sight. Or she came likewise with very many precious stones. And by these stones we may compare the precious promises that God gives unto his dear children. Oh, how they stand out in our life, how they have instilled in our hearts that eternal life. For they come from Jesus, who is the word of life, that when he speaks with power, with sweetness to our hearts, then these precious promises, they leave such a fragrance within us, and we may again and again come back with these promises to God and say, look, Lord, did you not say this? Did you not tell me this? And we may plea upon this. Oh, what a mercy if you have something like this, my hearers. This queen came with this to Jerusalem. And oh, so you come to the house of God, so you come to this King in secret. So sometimes day and night you're busy with this King in heaven above, pleading before him upon the promises and upon what he has spoken to your heart. And this queen, when she came, she communed with Solomon, with all that was in her heart, and he answered all her questions. He didn't hide anything from her. So God, in his goodness and kindness, likewise speaks to every one that is in the same position as this queen. He hides nothing. He knows everything, and he makes everything so plain and clear for his dear children, that they may believe and that they may be given to hope in his mercy and in his word. This woman then, when she came, she was given likewise to see wonderful things. She was given to see the wisdom of Solomon. And she was given likewise to see the beautiful temple that he had built. And then she was taken to his own home, his palace. And when she came into this palace of this king, and she seen the table that he had, and how that he spread it, and what meat he had upon this table, and when she seen the attendance of his servants, and his ministers, and his cupbearers, all these things were so wonderful to this queen. There was nothing like it in all the earth. What she had heard about this was so true now because she seen it with her own eyes. And when she seen the ascent that this king made when he went up to the house of the Lord, then we read that there was no spirit left in her. When she seen how this great king, Solomon, so rich, so glorious, so wise, when he went up to the house of God, how serious he was, how humble he was, how pious he was. Oh, this struck her so that there wasn't any spirit left in her. Oh, my hearers, she is a type of some children of God. I wouldn't say everyone, because God is free, how that he indulges his children, but some of them are given likewise as this queen spiritually. Or they are likewise given to see and to hear of the wisdom of this king. Or he is the wisest king that ever lived. And when he reveals something of himself to his dear children, when he unfolds the plan of salvation to them, oh, the wonderful wisdom of God as the apostle speaks of it. Oh, we cannot fathom it. And when he begins to unfold this, when he takes some of his dear children back into eternity, and he begins to reveal that it was the plan of God the Father to save an innumerable multitude of sinners, and when he reveals this plan, how that he likewise gave to his Father his consent to come into this world and to suffer and to bleed and to die for his dear children, when they are led into the wonderful wisdom of this way of salvation and they may believe that they are included in it, oh, my hearers, oh, they are lost in wonder and amazement at the wonderful way that God hath fathomed to restore his fallen children back to himself. Oh, when they likewise are given like this queen. She was given to enter into the temple, to see how that this temple was constructed and how that this temple was made of so much gold, and that in this temple she was given to see the very presence of this God. The cloud dwelling in the temple, the fire upon the altar, all manifestations of the presence of God in this house. Oh, my hearers, when God leads his dear children into that heavenly temple, Jerusalem above, oh, when they are given to see something of the beauty of that house and what goes on in that house, that he occupies that house, that he dwells there, oh, the wonderful blessing this is, my hearers, that this soul sometimes is so lifted up and is so desirous that it would break the clangs of flesh and be with this gracious Jesus in heaven above. Oh, this temple in heaven above is a glorious abode. This is where his honor dwelleth, and this is where he likewise condescends to commune with his dear people. This woman, she was given likewise to enter into the palace of Solomon. When she came into this palace, she was given to see of the wonderful way that this king ate and what he had on his table, and how that these servants, they obeyed him, and how that his ministers likewise were round about him, ready to help and to do what he bid them to do. Oh, this queen was given to see something of his riches, of his greatness, and so a soul is led like by the Spirit of God into this residence above, into this glorious palace where Jesus is at the right hand of God. And when they are given to see something of the ministers, all angels are his ministering spirits, and he likewise ministers in and through his blessed spirit to ministers here below, that they may likewise comfort and encourage the children of God here below, they are given to see something of what he likewise has on his table to eat, the meat of his table, and that is his precious self, his body and his blood. They are the bread of life. They are the meat and the drink of his dear people. And when they are led by his Spirit into these things and be given to see this and to believe this for their own heart and soul, oh my hearers, how wonderful this is for such a sinner that he may or she may believe that she has part in this. And this woman, when she was given to see how Solomon made his ascent unto the house of God, oh, when we are led by the Spirit of God to see how that Jesus pleads before his Father, how that he makes intercession for his people, how that he reveals his wounds and his hands unto his dear Father and prays upon his own merits for his dear children, and how that he is so faithful and how zealous he is and how constant he is in this work at the right hand of the Father, and that he is doing this for you and I, oh, then there isn't any spirit left in such a person as there was with this woman. There wasn't any spirit left. She fainted away. And so, in this, my hearers, they are brought by the Spirit of God to swim in the ocean of God's love. Oh, blessed are they that know something of my feeble explanation of what this woman seen with her eyes in Jerusalem and what a soul sees with his spiritual eyes in this heavenly Jerusalem above. Oh, this woman then is a type of the Church of Christ throughout all ages. And after this woman had seen these things, as she spake unto Solomon, and she says, I did not believe the report that I heard in my own land about these things, but I had to come and see. And she says, the half of it was not told unto me, for thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the report that I heard. This woman then, as she spake unto Solomon in this way, concerning what was so true for her at the present time, as she didn't believe when she was in her own country, she had to come and see. And now when she saw, why then the half of it was not even true. His wisdom and his riches and his beauty and his glory and his excellency exceeded the report she heard. Oh, my hearers, if the time may come that you and I may enter into that glorious abode above, oh, what a difference it'll be. Half of the time we don't believe, my hearers, the report that we hear. We hear it and it goes in one ear and out the other. It don't make any effect upon us. We can't believe that it's for us. But if we are ever permitted to enter into that place, and we are given to see the wisdom and the prosperity and the blessings that God has provided for his church, and which he hath made known here below, and which we have heard so much of and could not believe, then when we are there, then we with this queen will have to say, the thousandth part of this place has never been proclaimed into my heart. It exceeds everything that I ever heard about this place. All this place, glory above. There we will be with God and see him face to face, never no more to go out. Oh, blessed eternity, my hearers, awaits every soul that has some spiritual knowledge of what this woman experienced physically, naturally, and mentally when she came to visit this King Solomon. Oh, my hearers, may every one of us that be desirous by the Spirit of God to be given to enter into that place. Oh, that's some place, my hearers. I've been thinking about that place. That's a place where we'll never have any sorrow, never have any grief, never have any trouble. We'll never have any more sin. We'll never have any more doubts, any more unbelief. No, there we will be with him. Oh, blessed, blessed it'll be to be forever with the Lord. Oh, this queen, as she spake unto Solomon and said, happy are these thy servants, and happy are these thy people that stand and behold and hear thy wisdom. Oh, this queen, as she was jealous even of these servants and of those that ministered unto Solomon, that stood round about this king. She was a queen herself, but oh, she probably had so much envy in her heart that she would have rather have remained there, that she would have been a servant to him. Oh, she admired this king so because what God had done for him. For she says, it has pleased God, who delighted in thee, to make thee king, and that thou should rule over his people Israel, for he loveth them forever. Happy art thou, oh yes, this King Solomon. He was a blessed character in this respect. He was placed there by God, and this woman gave him all the praise, this God in heaven, that he had placed Solomon as king over the Israelites, and that he ruled them and reigned over them. Yea, that this Solomon was likewise gifted with so much wisdom, so much prosperity, so much riches, and that God loved him, that God delighted in him, and therefore he had placed him upon the throne of Israel. Oh, what a mercy that God delights in any creature, in any human being, and that he makes this known unto that person. Solomon knew that God had taken a delight in him and that he loved him, and that God had placed him on the throne. And this queen honors God for what he had done. And so, my hearers, every soul that is led like this queen spiritually, they will say the very same thing. They will praise God for setting Jesus upon the throne of Zion, and that he has likewise that authority to love those whom God loves, and that he takes a delight in his dear children, and they take a delight in him, and that he is set upon this throne to reign forever and ever, because he takes a delight in the children of his Father. Oh, blessed are you if you may be one of these, my hearers. Oh, then this king will be your king, and then you will invite him to come into your heart and reign over you. And after this, we read that King Solomon, he gave unto this queen all what she desired of him. And he gave her, besides this, of his royal bounty, another type of this blessed Jesus, my hearers. Oh, he gives more than what we even ask or pray for. Oh, he is such a good king. He is such a rich king. He is such a liberal king. He invites us to ask, and we shall receive. He gives us, oh, he gives us so much of his royal bounty. He gives us faith, he gives us hope, he gives us love, he gives us pardon, peace, he gives us the joys of salvation here below, so that this makes us hunger and thirst for that eternity of salvation with him. Oh, this king, he withholds no good thing from them that walk with him and that serve him. Oh, blessed are you if you may be such a subject. And after this we read that this queen, she returned back unto her own country. This queen had come a great distance. She had seen some wonderful things. She had enjoyed much in Jerusalem. She would like to have stayed there, but now she had to return. She was the queen of a country, and she had to go back and reign over her own country. So she had to leave Jerusalem. Oh, my hearers, this is a type likewise of God's dear people. In this life, they are subject to these things. We read of the disciples, they were upon the mount with Jesus. They seen him transfigured before them. Oh, what a wonderful sight this must have been for these apostles. They wanted to stay there. As you know, Peter says, let us build tabernacles here. One for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But they had to come down off the mount. So it is when God gives us to indulge in something of his grace and of his love, it is only sometimes for a few moments, and then we come back to our own country. We come back to ourselves. We read likewise of Daniel, that he had such wonderful visions of God, and when these visions were given to him, then we find that his comeliness turned into corruption, that he became such a great sinner. He became so humble, he became nothing in the sight of him who had manifested himself to him. Oh, this is what takes place in this life. If God ever manifests himself to you, my hearers, it humbles you, it breaks you, it brings you down to nothing before him. And oh, after you've experienced something like this, why then you are brought back to yourself. Oh, this isn't too good, my hearers. You would like to remain in that state, in that frame. And we read of the Apostle Paul, that he was taken up into paradise, and that he was given to hear and to see things which it was not lawful for any man to speak of. And after he had been in paradise, when he came back, then we read that this apostle was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him so that he would not be exalted by the revelations that God had given unto him. Brought down to be a needy creature, brought down again to pray that God would deliver him from this messenger of Satan. So with you, if you have experienced something of what I have been stammering about this afternoon, then you have been likewise brought down, brought back again, and brought into your own heart. Oh, this is something, my hearers, that you cannot fathom. Oh, you would wish that it would remain so, that you would live so close to God and walk with him and talk with him, but you're brought back into yourself. You're brought back again, and it seems that what you have experienced was but a dream, and you can't control your own mind. You can't control your own faith concerning it. Oh, you find that what? Sin begins to work in you. And this begins to get the upper hand again over you. And then darkness comes into your soul. Unbelief starts to work. Doubts and fears. Yes, even after the most glorious manifestations that you've had, you come back into yourself. And what is self but wickedness, evil? Self, that which would rend you away from God, if possible. Oh, to come back and find that sin is so powerful and so strong, and that you find yourself giving way to it after so many tokens of the love of God in your heart. All this, my hearers, is coming back into our own land. And this queen, she then departed and she went back to Sheba. We read no more of her. In the chapter that I've been dwelling upon, we read about Solomon, how rich he was, how much gold he had, where he got it from, how that he had a navy at sea, and he sent this navy out, and every 3 years they came back with a shipload of gold. This king, Solomon, he was so rich in gold that silver in his time was not even accounted for. And this king, he was so wise that all the kings of the world sought to the wisdom of Solomon. He stands in this chapter a wonderful person. He stands here as Jesus, an emblem of him, shining very brightly yet in the world. But in the next chapter, my hearers, we read altogether different about this man. And we find that this Solomon, he loved many strange women. Besides his wife, the daughter of Pharaoh, he loved women of the Moabites, of the Ammonites, of the Zidonians, of the Hittites. Of these women who God had forbidden the Israelites to enter into, and who he likewise had forbidden that they shouldn't give their sons or their daughters unto them. These Solomon clave to in love, it says. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. 1,000 women this man had. You would say, where did he get them all from? Well, he had people going out, not only throughout his own country, but he sent messengers throughout all these strange countries. And wherever they seen a beautiful woman, he took her and he brought her back to Jerusalem. He had the authority to do so. He was the king. One would have thought he would have learned a lesson from his own father. His father David, he had committed an awful sin. He had committed a murder and committed adultery, and he had suffered for that sin. But this was before Solomon's time. Solomon wasn't yet born then. But he should have limited himself to about as many wives as his father had. But he went beyond any king in this respect. He had then 1,000 wives. And this man, Solomon, and he was a religious man, don't get this wrong. He went up to the temple, he worshiped God, but he clave to these women. And gradually, going up to the temple became but what? A custom. Soon, he didn't go as often as he did. Soon, he started to go with these women. These women, they were strange women. They had idols that they worshiped. And he started to go along with his wives. He gave way to them. This wasn't just immediately, but gradually. And this king, he began to leave God. He began to forsake him who had appeared unto him twice, who had given him the riches and the wisdom and this kingship that he had. He began to forsake God. Can you understand it, my hearers? All this teaches us, no matter how wise we may be and how rich we may be, or when temptation comes, how weak we are. This is an example for us that we should pray that we should not enter into temptation. This king was carried away by his wives. For when he became old, then we read, he forsook God. He left God and he began to build chapels for these idols that these women worshipped. He began to help support the priest that they used in these chapels. And he himself went with them, just as if it was only a joke. It didn't make which god he worshipped. Many a wise man makes this mistake, my hearers. God is in heaven, everybody worships him. But there's only one true way of worshiping him, and Solomon had learned that way. And now this God became angry with. God hates sin, my hearers, and he must punish sin. Oh, this man Solomon, he was carried away then with these strange women. Oh, my hearers, this is a warning to many a young person. It's not good to marry somebody that's ungodly. That's somebody that don't care about God or about the worship of God. Oh, God forbid that any one of our young women or young men should fall into this sin. Ah, some think, they'll come along with me to my house of worship. Oh, no. You know, we have such a nature, and we're carried away so easily with something that somebody else has. There are so many sects of worship in our time, which are so contrary to the Word of God, and which we can live so easily under. We can enjoy everything of the world and still worship God. And this is what nature goes along with. Solomon, he was carried away by his wives. Oh, how strong was temptation in Solomon. And he had nothing to fight against with. This man, Solomon, he then left God. He forsook God. Did he die in this, my hearers? Many think so. At the end of the chapter we read that Solomon died. You don't read of his deathbed. You don't read of his repentance. You don't read of nothing. But we do read in the book of Ecclesiastes, which they consider a penitential book. For if you read that book, you will begin to notice how Solomon begins to warn against strange women. Why? Because he was carried away himself. When he was in the midst of this, God came to him and spake unto him and told him, you have not done what I have commanded you to do. And therefore, I will rend the kingdom out of your hand, but I won't do it in your time. I'll do it in your son's time. And some think that at that time, when God spake to him, that went home to his heart. And he began to repent. And that's when he wrote this book of Ecclesiastes. If you read the seventh chapter, the seventh and the eighth chapter, you will find in there how that this man speaks against strange women and being carried away by them. I said to you that he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And he says at the end of one of those chapters that there was not one that was any good. There was not one of all his wives that feared God, that loved God, that served God as he had done. They were all idol worshipers. How awful, my hearers. He had not found one woman amongst them. Oh, it's a blessing if you have a woman that fears God, that loves God, and that desires that you and your children may likewise worship this God. This Solomon was deprived of, with all his wisdom and all his riches. My time is far gone, my hearers. And next week, the Lord willing, we'll take up the lesson that is to be spoken on that day, for I'll fall too far behind. You know, I'm no good for this kind of work. I just can't keep up with this. This is beyond me at times, and I don't like this, but I'm subject to this most of the time. The Lord bless what I have instructed you in this day to your soul's welfare. That's all for today.